Welcome back. In this lesson, we're building one of the most important parts of classic old-school drum and bass, the subsign. Not just a low note, not just some rumble under the track, but the actual glue that holds the break, the stabs, and the whole groove together. We're doing it from scratch in Ableton Live 12 using stock devices, and the goal is simple, a deep, mono, musical sub that feels like it belongs in a proper 1990s jungle record. Clean enough to translate, gritty enough to have attitude, and tight enough to lock with a kick and break instead of fighting them. First, set up your session. Start a new Ableton set and put the tempo somewhere in that classic D&B range, around 165 to 174 BPM. Drop in a breakbeat loop, or if you want to keep it raw, program a basic MN style pattern. Then create a MIDI track for your sub. Keep the drums fairly simple at first so you can really hear what the low end is doing. A kick on a few strong downbeats, a snare on 2 and 4 or a chopped break, and some light hats with a bit of swing. That gives you a solid foundation to hear the relationship between the sub and the drums. Now load up Operator on the MIDI track. Operator is perfect for this, because it gives you a clean sine wave with a lot of control. Set Oscillator to sine, and turn off or mute the other oscillators for now. You want a pure tone at the core. If you want that classic slippery jungle movement, switch the instrument into mono and turn on glide or portamento. Keep the filter open or off, because for this sound we're not really sculpting a synth patch in the usual way. We're building a controlled low-frequency engine. For the amp envelope, keep the attack very fast, basically 0 to a few milliseconds. Decay should be short or off, sustain should stay full, and release should be short enough that the note doesn't smear into the next one. A good starting point is around 50 to 120 milliseconds. That release time matters a lot in D&B. Too long, and the low end turns to mush. Too short, and the sub feels disconnected. You want it to breathe, but not burr. Next, think about pitch range. This is a sub, so don't get seduced into writing it too high. A solid starting zone is around D1 to A1 for a lot of old-school bass lines. If you want something darker and heavier, try C1 to E1. Just be careful living too far below 30 Hz unless you know your monitoring and system really well. That area can eat headroom fast and not always translate the way you expect. When you write the MIDI, keep it simple and musical. Old-school jungle bass lines often work because they're restrained, not flashy. Try holding a root note for a bar or two, then add a few movement notes that answer the break. Use short notes to create bounce. Leave space for the kick and snare. Root, fifth, octave jumps, maybe a passing note here and there. That's enough to make it feel alive without overcrowding the groove. Now shape the feel with the envelope. If you want it tight, keep the attack at 0, sustain high, and release around 50 to 100 milliseconds. If you want a more rubbery old-school feel, let the release open up a little more, maybe 100 to 180 milliseconds, and use glide between notes. That sliding motion can be pure jungle magic when it's done tastefully. Just remember, the sub should feel like it's moving with the rhythm, not swimming around on its own. At this point, the sine wave will probably sound very clean, maybe even too clean. That's where saturator comes in. Add saturator after operator, and keep it subtle. We're not trying to destroy the low end. We're just adding a little harmonic content, so the sub can be heard on smaller speakers and in a dense mix. Start with a drive of around 1 to 4 dB, turn soft clip on, and match the output so you're comparing tone, not just loudness. If you push it a little more, you can get a darker, dirtier edge, but stay in control. The goal is audible weight, not low-mid fuzz. After that, add EQ8. Use it to clean up what doesn't belong. A high pass somewhere around 20 to 30 Hz is usually a good move, just to remove useless rumble and keep the master bus from getting slammed. If there's mud around 120 to 200 Hz, gently dip it. If the saturation brought too much forwardness in the low-mids, maybe soften a bit around 200 to 400 Hz. The main idea is this. In D&B, the best low end is controlled low end. Don't boost the sub just because you can. Make it disciplined. Then place utility at the end of the chain and make the sub mono. Width at 0% is the simplest move, and usually the right one. Sub frequencies in stereo can create phase problems, and old school jungle really wants that low end to hit straight and clean. Mono low end translates better in clubs, on sound systems, and even on small speakers when you're checking the groove. Now let's make room for the kick with the sidechain compressor. Put compressor after the EQ or near the end of the chain, then enable sidechain and feed it from your kick or drum bus. Start around a 2:1:4:1 ratio, attack between 1 and 10 milliseconds, release around 50 to 150 milliseconds, and lower the threshold until the kit gets its space. You don't want obvious CDM-style pumping here unless that's a creative choice. For jungle and old-school DDNB, subtle sidechain movement usually feels more musical. The kick should punch through, and the sub should duck just enough to stop masking it. This is where the bass starts to blue itself to the drums. Listen carefully to how it reacts to the break. The sub shouldn't just sit underneath the groove like an afterthought. It should answer the rhythm. One way to do that is to line your bass notes up with the kick accents, so the bass supports the drum pattern instead of colliding with it. Another way is to use rhythmic note lengths, like quarter notes, dotted eighths, or short stabs between break slices. And don't underestimate silence. In old school jungle, a tiny gap can create more bounce than another note ever could. If you want even more movement, turn on glide. Mono mode plus a glide time around 40 to 120 milliseconds can give you that classic sliding bass behavior. It's especially good for rooter fifth motion, chopped bass answers, and darker rolling phrases. Just keep an eye on it. Too much glide, and the sub starts to blur instead of groove. Once the patch feels right, save the whole thing as a reusable chain. A simple rack with operator, saturator, EQ8, compressor, and utility can become your go-to old-school DNB sub setup. That way, whenever you start a new track, you already have a solid low-end starting point instead of rebuilding it every time. Now let's talk arrangement, because the bass line really comes alive in context. A classic DDNB intro often holds back the sub at first. Let the drums tease the energy, then bring the bass in after 8 or 16 bars. In the drop, keep the sub locked with the break and kick, and vary the pattern every 4 or 8 bars so it doesn't feel looped. In the breakdown, strip the low end out again, then bring it back full force for the next section. Old school DDNB thrives on contrast. Raw drums, then heavyweight bass. That push and pull is a big part of the impact. A few common mistakes to watch for. First, don't make the sub too loud in solo. A bass that sounds huge by itself can wreck the mix once the drums come in. Second, keep the low end mono. Stereo subs create phase issues and translation problems. Third, don't overdo saturation. A little harmonic edge helps. Too much turns your sub into muddy low mid fuzz. Fourth, be careful with note range. Too high and it stops feeling like proper sub. Too low and it disappears or steals all your headroom. And fifth, watch your release time and note overlap. A tiny overlap can be nice if you want glide, but too much quickly turns into low end blur. If you want to push the sound further, there are a few smart variations. You can create a two-layer system, with one pure sine sub and a second, I-passed layer for audibility. That gives you weight plus edge without compromising the clean foundation. You can also map a macro so lower notes stay cleaner and higher notes get a little more drive. That makes the bass feel more expressive across the range. Another nice trick is to use velocity to influence release, drive, or tone, so the bass line feels less static when you're programming longer phrases. And if you really want more character, try a subtle pitch envelope at the start of each note. Keep it tiny though. If it's too obvious, it starts sounding more like an 808 than a jungle bass. Here is a solid practice move. Build a 16-bar old-school groove at around 170 BPM. Use operator with saturator, EQ8, compressor, and utility. Write a 2-bar bass phrase using only root, fifth, and octave. Duplicate it across the 16 bars, then change one note every 4 bars to create variation. Add a bit of glide on selected transitions, sidechain the bass gently to the kick, and then listen back on headphones, monitors, and if possible a small speaker. That last check is huge. If your sub still reads clearly when the volume is low, you're probably in a very good place. So the big takeaway is this. In old school DNB, the sub isn't just an extra layer, it's part of the rhythm section. Build it with a pure sine, keep it mono, add just enough saturation to make it speak, clean it with EQ, and let it breathe with the kick. If you arrange it with restraint and intention, the sub becomes the engine of the tune. Now go make that low end hit.